so much to do. After the blasphemous movie on the priest was released, did you read what the Bishop's Conference, the USCC, published? A slap on the wrist. Silence. On the blasphemy, Lord, help America, help our nation to discover who is his Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. A close female relative of my fiance is in a lesbian relationship. Her woman friend has been artificially inseminated, and these two women are going to raise this child together. As a matter of fact, they're having a baby shower today. And my fiance is there. How should I handle this situation? I believe my fiance is attending this baby shower. He is condoning the situation. I agree. She should not be there. Now I'll show the author of this note. God help your marriage. May the 18th is John Paul II's 75th birthday. Perhaps we could also send our best wishes and prayers. Well, since we're getting one letter from the Vatican, you might appreciate it. In any case, let me first deliver the first letter. And would somebody please call my office to remind me to make sure I photographed them on my desk, but typical. So, I think it's a good idea. Our daughter was raised Roman Catholic. She has chosen to attend Assembly of God with her husband. She does not believe in the sacrament of penance. Once in a while, she will go to the Catholic Church and receive Holy Communion. She shouldn't. I know this is a grace, a grave sin. I don't think she is aware of this great matter. My husband believes that she must receive some value from receiving Holy Communion. I don't believe so. I want to tell her in a loving way. My husband believes I'll be causing problems. What do I do? Well, can you tell your husband? Well, first, can you talk to your husband? Look, you're the wife. Wives are meant to influence their husbands. You know that, don't you? and talk to your daughter. And no stress to sin, but rather how important it is for her to make a good confession. If she wants to make a good confession, call me up. Dear Father, our son is 14. He is applying for a job at a fast food restaurant. He would like to have the job only for pocket money. He has no serious need to work. I'm sure they will ask him to work on Sunday. I believe as a Catholic, he shouldn't. I believe you should let them know his faith beliefs. My husband believes for our son to work on Sunday is not a sin. Because he believes our son doesn't believe it, it isn't a sin. I am planning on refusing to drive him to work on Sunday. What should I do that our son make his own decision or not allow him to work on Sunday? Well, it certainly would be better if he did not work on Sunday. Nowadays, who keeps Sunday holy? All kinds of work being done, really hard, several work on Sunday. And maybe the boy does not believe it's a sin, though, well, I gather, at least his mother tells him it is a sin. So, whatever you can do, kindly, quietly, charitably, but firmly, wants to work by all means, I would strongly recommend that he not work on Sunday. Thanks for the question. Our daughter, Catholic at that time, and son-in-law, Assembly of God, were married in the Catholic Church. Our son-in-law was not baptized at the time of marriage. He was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the Assembly of God. They are not raising their daughter in the Catholic faith. They now both attend the Assembly of God. Is the marriage valid? Maybe. The two conditions, among others, for a valid marriage for anybody is they must not practice contraception. They must want children. And secondly, they must believe that marriage is a lifetime commitment. So, the marriage. Could be valid. Of course, if the son-in-law was not Catholic, probably was not baptized at the time of the marriage, there was not a sacrament. Not the sacrament of marriage. There were presumably a dispensation was obtained for a non-sacramental marriage. Well, and now that he is baptized, Assembly of God baptisms can be valid. I would say, those not being brought up as Catholic, among the conditions which the Church requires for a Catholic entering marriage with a non-Catholic, the Catholic must have what we call moral certitude, and that the non-Catholic partner will not interfere or prevent the Catholic partner from practicing the faith. And that's a condition for the valid marriage. What hints can you give to parents who have children rearing or nearing adulthood at an age that is appropriate for dating? How do we ease into this period in their lives and help them to use prudence in this area? I can think of nothing better, by the way, than prayer and the frequent use of the sacraments. In other words, what young people mostly need is God's grace, which comes from prayer and the sacraments. Over the centuries, in teaching in secondary schools throughout the world, from the time of St. Ignatius, would to God they were still doing the same. But for centuries, he would have these young people, young men to be taught. He'd encourage them to go to Mass and Communion every day. They need light and strength, and the best one to give it to them is Christ Himself. As parents, we pray for good, strong Catholic spouses for our children. Now, are we to sit back, let them make their selections, or we take a quiet and active part in guiding them? Or take a quiet and active, I was going to say, and maybe not so quiet part in guiding them? And over the years, I have assisted, especially women, in finding eligible partners for marriage. It helps, by all means, both warn them and assist them. Next week will be our last class until fall. We'll miss you. Also, what will you be doing during the summer? I'm giving retreats. Also spending a month in Paraguay, training catechists in South America, making my own retreat, and working on manuscripts for publication. Thank you for the question. Why are the Jesuits closing down their home on the campus, University of Detroit Mercy? How many Jesuits live there now? Well, from all that I understand, the university wants the rooms, which many are empty. So the rooms need to be occupied by university personnel. And the last I heard was 34 Jesuits living on campus. Father Ed Freedy, I think, said, a friend of priest of his, one day, in the name of Jesus Christ, cursed the film, The Exorcist, at a theater's door, and the film burst into flames. May I do that to a theater when the priest film is showing. I'm sorry, I cannot give you permission. What is the element in that film which makes it blasphemy? It portrays priests as uniformly wicked men. Now, the priesthood is wicked. Who ordained the Apostle Paul? We're not sure which of the apostles. Most likely, St. Peter. I'm very leery of people who want to pray over me, hands on, and who speak in tongues over me. I don't know what they are saying. Please comment. I would be leery too. Is it permissible for Catholic lawyers and judges to take part in divorce proceedings? And if so, on what basis? It is permissible, but in counseling lawyers, I advise them not to become involved in divorce proceedings where they would have to say, defend a client, and in effect, are you against a valid marriage? We know that Jesus was tempted by the devil. Was he also tempted in the flesh and the world? Jesus was not tempted in the flesh. That would be blasphemy to think that Jesus was tempted in the flesh. And in the world, we do not normally say that Christ would be tempted by the world, because that would mean that the evil conduct of people in the world would lure or seduce Christ. Now, we can say that some try to tempt Christ, the Pharisees, for example. But he was actually tempted? No. This year on Good Friday, we had two women narrate the gospel. The priest was only allowed to say the quotes that were said by Jesus. Is it all right to have women read the gospel? No. Thanks. Will the couples who obtained annulments and then gone on to remarry be as culpable for this act as the bishops who so generously helped them obtain it? All that I've said about annulments, I have to say, otherwise I wouldn't be fair to the church. Present Holy Father, please with bishops to respect the unity and indissolubility of marriage. But two conditions. First, where a Catholic has obtained an annulment sincerely and honestly. And those two qualities are important, sincerely and honestly. As you know, in filling out the papers for an annulment, the tribunal is at the mercy of the documentation they receive. So if everything is done both sincerely and honestly, and secondly, if Kinnaman then is granted by the church tribunal, then the one who sought the annulment may accept the church's decision. But one proviso: in many cases, both sides of the marriage do not want the annulment. I'm not sure in most cases, but certainly in many cases, it's one side that wants it, the other does not. Then, the side that does not want the annulment should not, I couldn't be stronger in my negative, should not simply accept the decision of the diocese, should not accept the decision of the diocese, but should immediately appeal to Rome. Immediately appeal to Rome. There's a time limit. And over the years, I have done it, and I do this constantly in helping one party to an annulment granted by a diocese that the other partner who does not want the annulment then writes to Rome, and the moment that annulment is challenged, then the other partner cannot remarry until Rome makes the decision. And Rome can make the decision, and how? Contrary to the bishop. Thanks for the question. To the writings of Father Paul de Jager, S.J., we think of Pauline spirituality, especially he must increase and I must decrease. The book One with Jesus is back in print. I would say yes. And by the way, I'm one reason why it's back in print. After much reflection, I decided to include De Jager, among my, Catholic lifetime reading plan. He's authentic. Now, his writing has to be properly understood. He veers more on the mystical side, but yes, his writing is safe. Were the ruling on the poem of the man God, the ruling by the Holy See is negative, the poem of the man of God should not be used by Catholics. Okay. 80,000 Christian men gathered at the Silverdome this weekend under the banner name of the Thomas Keepers. Their theme, a goal, is the influence Christian men to take world control of their family. Is this a group that Catholics can support? I've just heard about them. I don't know that much about them. I'd appreciate knowing more. But it sounds good. There's no question what's happening in the United States. First of all, most of the laboring force in America is now women. Most of American property is now controlled by women. Most of the court decisions are awarded to women. And men are on the defensive in so many ways. A female friend was given permission by a Catholic priest to become minister to perform a marriage. It is a business. She rents space to celebrate the wedding ceremony. She calls it a wedding chapel and can make all of the other arrangements for the wedding. See that she is a Catholic. Is this conflicting? No. All wrong. Dead wrong. Heaven help us. In what language had St. Paul written? Well, in Greek. He wrote in Greek. My daughters married a Palestinian Muslim 9 years ago. She is praying to convert the man. They have 5 children. Is there a priest who can talk to him regarding the Catholic religion versus Muslim? They are now in the West Bank. He travels back and forth with his business. She now can't get out of Israel regarding some visa mix-up. When she gets back, I know she wants to talk to a priest or counselor regarding baptizing the children or just getting him on the path of conversion. Happy to meet. If I can help in any way, let me know. How could we find out if a dispensation for a non-sacrament marriage was or was not issued? Well, the diocese or the parish should have a record. What about you, yourself, tell a father who opposes his son's vocation to the priesthood? Of course, I would talk to the father and find out why he's opposed to the son's vocation. Now, he might have what he thinks has justifiable grounds. There might be valid grounds, but find out. Have him face the facts. What is the difference between pride and vanity? Oh, that's easy. Vanity is cheap pride. You can be vain about your hair or your eyebrows, or you're proud of your intelligence. Some people are vain because they have nothing to be proud of. What is your opinion of a husband and wife and a mixed marriage going together to both Mass and the non-Catholic service each Sunday? I don't like it. Now, going to a non-Catholic service on occasion, out of charity, could be tolerated. But there are two dangers. One obvious one, of course, is scandal, leaving the impression on the non-Catholic that for the Catholic, this is approval. And secondly, influence. My gosh, you attend non-Catholic services and pretty soon you're being affected by non-Catholic thinking. We have heard that Constance Comby believes promise keepers to be a cult. The men have to confess their sins to a mentor. It bears looking into. Yes. So I'll let you know more about these promise keepers. There will be a weekend conference at Franciscan University in July for men only. The theme is raise the standard, the same as that of the Promise Keepers Conference at the Silver Dome. There was an 800 number for Franciscan University for those wishing more information. It would help if there was a little more to the 800 number. Is there more to the 800 number? Oh. Oh. But is there more? Yeah. If somebody knows the rest of the 800 number, that would help. Besides working on Sunday, there are many other dangers to the faith that are found in working in a fast food restaurant. Don't let him, okay? Okay. My daughter left the Catholic Church around the time of high school graduation. Our parish had nothing to offer our age group in the teen years. She was going to student venture in young life. She joined a non-denominational Christian church. The members were warm and welcoming. They let her become very involved in different areas like the nursing. So sister singing. After several years, she wanted to marry a young man from the Baptist faith. They couldn't agree on a common faith and ended up being married by a justice of the peace. After about a year and a half, they divorced. They had no dispensation, to my knowledge, for the ceremony. She does not consider herself Catholic. What is her status? Are there any conditions to allow her remarriage, except that a former husband should die? I prayed during her host's courtship that if this relationship was not from the Lord, it would break it apart before marriage. Well, if there was no dispensation for a valid marriage with a non-Catholic, I repeat, both sides must be agreed on a lifelong commitment. Secondly, both sides must be agreed in wanting children and not using contraception to avoid having children. And being Baptist is no guarantee of being baptized, by the way. Many Baptists are not baptized. In any case, the first marriage may well be invalid. I suggest you find out the case and let me see it. So the Franciscan University number 1-800-437-TENT, T-E-N-T. 1-800-437-TENT. And the fax is 614-283-6442. 614-283-6442. That's for the men's conference in July. What are the seven vows a Jesuit priest takes? We see the three standard vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. We take four other vows. We take a vow of obedience to the Vicar of Christ, a vow of obedience to the Pope, especially in the teaching of religion. That's why I'm here. Fifth vow, we take a vow not to weaken the practice of poverty in the Jesuit order. Not to weaken the practice of poverty in the Jesuit order. Sixth, we take a vow not to become bishops. A vow. Not to become bishops. As recommended by the Pope under pain of mortal sin. We take a seventh vow. Not only not to become bishops, but do everything in our power to prevent becoming bishops. That's two vows. Not to become a bishop. One more vow. Everything in my power to prevent becoming a bishop. I know how to love divorced women with a chaste love, but in what manner is it permissible to God to love a married woman without trespassing into matrimony, into matrimonial love? Well, same thing. In other words, I presume this is a man submitting that you have to love everyone. My goodness. For example, as a priest, I have to love both men and women, just for the record. And the distinction between married or unmarried, of course, every person that we love in our lives, hear it, even for a man, even his own wife is to be loved chastely. Chaste love is to be practiced also in marriage, which means especially two things. It means fidelity in marriage and no contraception. That's chaste love, even for one spouse. So in other words, for a married woman, all the laws of prudence and good judgment apply. And this is especially, on how you show your affection. In other words, that the manifestation of affection is shown in different ways, is it ever to a person, say, to whom you're married, and to someone who is not your spouse? What is the form and matter of the sacrament of matrimony? Oh, that's easy. The The form is the will of each partner, the will of each partner, accepting the other for a lifetime marriage commitment. The will. The matter is some kind of external manifestation. Do you accept so-and-so as your lawful wife? I do. The I do would be the matter. Or if the deaf mutes, or write it out, some external manifestation. When I was married by a Catholic priest, I had every intention of using contraception. Through the grace of God, I came to know and love the teachings of the Church. Is my marriage valid? Well, thank God that you came to know and love the teachings of the Church. So I would say your marriage was validated when you came to know and love the teachings of the Church. Thank God. By the way, it's 4:15. Shall I continue? If two people love each other, but one cannot have children, should they not marry because the Catholic faith says to have children? Oh, no problem. On the other hand, they shouldn't. Of course they can marry. But be sure that your partner knows, say, either side, that you cannot have children. In other words, sterility was the inability to have children. Sterility is no hindrance to a valid marriage. Sterility is no hindrance to a valid marriage. Could you clarify what is meant by the Pauline privilege? The Pauline privilege, as explained by St. Paul, letter to the Corinthians, two non-baptized people marry validly. One becomes a Christian. Then the non-Christian partner does not want to live peaceably with the now baptized convert to Christianity. Then, says St. Paul, the Christian partner may, by the Pauline privilege, obtain, permission to marry, this time, however, a baptized person, in order to preserve the faith. And what happens? What happens is that the natural bond of the first marriage is dissolved. There are three conditions for an absolutely indissoluble marriage. Three conditions. Number one, both baptized before marriage. B-B-B-M. Both baptized before marriage. Next, valid contract, V-C. Valid contract. They know whom they're marrying. They want to marry for a lifetime, and they do not want to prevent having children. Thirdly, they have natural intercourse even once after marriage. N-C, natural consummation. If contraceptives are used 25 years after marriage, and that marriage can be dissolved. Because it has not been consummated. In other words, the only absolutely initiable marriage is one which both are baptized before marriage in valid contracts, and there has been natural intercourse even once after marriage. How can a couple still alive before conversion practice chaste love? Well, this would be, for example, say, tubal ligation or some kind of sterilization. Well, whether before conversion or even Catholics, sinfully, but they can be sterilized. It's a sin, of course, because that's a form of contraception, sterilization. Well, they cannot have children, though I advise people and teach priests to advise the people to find out if they can have the sterilization reversed. Depending on the condition, in many cases, the sterilized condition can be reversed. But assuming that it's